When I was in grade 7, my school that I went to went from grade kindergarten to grade 7, and then grade 8 to 12 was the next school. When I was in grade 7, I ran on the cross country team. And I'm not sure if I shared this story. It's kind of a fun story to share. If I have, don't stop me. But it's a fun story. I was running the cross country race, and all at the starting line. And as soon as the gun went off, we all ran, and I tripped and fell and really skinned my leg on the pavement before we got into the gravel and into the trail. And you can imagine if you've skinned your leg on or arms or whatever would have happened on pavement, that hurts a lot. And by the time I got up, everyone else was way ahead of me. And I had a choice to make. Do I keep going or do I just stop and call it a day? But I kept going. And so I figured, what's my goal here? Why am I running? I think I've shared the verse where it talks about in Proverbs, he is a fool who runs when no one's chasing him, or something like that in Book of Proverbs. Why am I running? I had a goal to get to the end of this race. I had a goal to maybe win something. I had a goal to finish this race. And so I kept going through this 2 mile, whatever cross country race it would have been for grade sevens, and just running. And pretty soon I found myself passing, overtaking some people on some of the trails and some of the passing lanes that we had. And as I get close to the finish line, then I have a whole bunch of people from my school that are just cheering me on. Oh, Kim, you almost got 10th. And so I'm running, and I won 10th. I got a ribbon somewhere, hiding somewhere. I've got a ribbon for 10th place, from last place all the way to 10th. Now, any of you remember the story? Do you remember how many were actually in this race? 17. There are only 17 runners, but I got 10th. I finished the race. It was great. What's the end goal? What are we living towards? Sometimes you and I just want to get through the day. Right? You ever have those kind of days? If I can just get through this day, can I just get to bed and just shut off the world, go to sleep, and we'll see what tomorrow is? Sometimes we just want to get through life. And sometimes different people have incredible lives that I wonder how they just keep going in the midst of their struggles. But they keep going. The Bible talks about eventually rest. The book of Hebrews often talks about rest in heaven. When we get to heaven, everything will be okay. That's the promise. That's the goal if we can just get there. The Bible talks about rest in heaven, and when all is said and done, we'll be there. That's what we're looking forward to. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to finish off our series on the beginning of 2 Peter. This is message number 10, and that's how it's all gone here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, then God will give you a grand entrance. I love that picture of a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we end up in heaven, whether we die on earth or whether we're taken at Jesus' eventual return, that's a good word, but I was looking for a different word, but the return, when he comes back, triumphal entry, when he makes that big triumphal entry into the sky and we're taken up, when we get there, there will be a grand entrance. We won't be slipping into heaven. There will be a grand entrance. And the first one to meet us will be Jesus, and then the other friends and loved ones that we have that have gone before. But that grand entrance will be incredible, incredible. Heaven is for those who believe in Jesus. Heaven is for those who love Jesus, and heaven is for those who are seeking to live for him. And it is my prayer that every one of us who are a part of Abide Church and beyond, but particularly for this church, that every one of you, I will see you in heaven. That you're all going to be there. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for all of this to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless. The challenge that I gave last week about make every effort, work at it. It takes energy. It takes working. It takes effort. It takes everything we need sometimes. It took for me to run that race. It took everything in me to finish that race, to push through that pain that I had as a grade 7 kid. That's a lot of pain for a grade 7 kid. To push through that and to keep going and to continue passing. That's what I had to keep doing. Chapter 1, verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and knowledge as you grow in your knowledge, as you grow in your relationship. That's what it's not just head knowledge, it's a head and heart knowledge and the relationship. We're to grow in that friendship, in that relationship with God. Chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. God has given everything we need for living a godly life. We have it. He's given it to us. And verse 5, then he says, in view of all of this, again, make every effort to respond to God's promises, supplement, add, improve, grow, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, which is godliness, knowledge, which is understanding and knowing God, self-control, patient endurance of perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection. As a church, he's writing to a group of churches, he's saying that we connect with each other, we're here for each other, the brotherly affection. And the love for everyone, the love for God, that act of love. There's two different verbs and Greek words that Paul is writing. There's Philadelphia, which is the brotherly love. And then he's talking about agape love, which is God's love, which we also are to use together. That's how we all get to heaven. We're working it together. We're helping each other. Singular Christians don't make it. We're working on together. Sometimes I needed that group of people cheering me on in that race. And sometimes we just need people who are encouraging us and helping us and putting their arm around us to say, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. That's what we need. I remember one time a number of years ago, I went through a really difficult time as a pastor in a particular church. This is many years ago, and it looked like the church was in deep, deep trouble. It was a really bad board meeting that happened that I happened to be a part of. And I'd come to Judy at that point after that board meeting. I said, I think we're done. I think I'm going to resign. I think I'm going to get out of ministry. I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. If this is what church is, I'm not doing this anymore. That next Sunday, and I'll never forget this, one of the elders in the church came to me and he put his arm around me because he knew what I'd been through, and it wasn't about me, but I was in that meeting, and he goes, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing well at all. And he put his arm around me and he said the words that I've never forgotten. Fasten your seatbelt. We're going to make it. Fasten your seatbelt. We're going to make it. And he just squeezed me really hard. Keep going. And we did. The church came through that difficult season. fasten your seatbelt. Sometimes we just need that encouragement. I needed it. We need it for each other. And sometimes that's where, and I know we joke about, this isn't in my notes, but anyways, we sometimes joke about that. Yeah, we just put on our suit and tie and our great faces. Nobody ever knows on what's going on in our lives. Church, sometimes you need to let somebody or a few people into your life. To what's going on in your heart. Because if we don't know, we can't encourage you. If we don't know what's going on, we can't help you. And I was open and honest with this elder, and I said, this is what's going on in my life. And he spoke words of life into me that has kept me going to this day. Chapter 1, verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge, in your relationship with Jesus. So let's pause here a moment. Let's pause here a moment. When we look at this list of moral excellence, goodness, we look at this list of knowledge, of understanding and knowing God, and patient endurance and self-control and godliness and brotherly affection and this love for everyone, an active love. As we look at that list that Peter is writing, he just lists it and he's going, add to this, add. How do you feel about that? When we open up the Bible and we read it and go, oh, that's a lot to do. Boy, that's what God wants me to do, and you're trying to figure out what this book is all about. How do you feel? Everything we've learned and know so far in your life, what God is asking us, what God is teaching, what God's commanding us, how do you feel? What goes on in your heart? What goes on in your head? When you hear a message, when you hear a sermon, when you're reading your quiet times, what's going on in your heart and life when you look at this? Is it as, let's go, let's go, let's keep going, yeah, and you're all ready to rip. Let's go. Some of us are just saying, I'm honestly trying. I'm trying my best, but it's a struggle. Some of us are going, I'm really struggling here. This is a tough slug. Whatever's going on in our life, what's ever going on in our relationship with God, all this going on, I'm going, I'm struggling here. Or sometimes we need to say, I am not doing so well. Like I said to that elder. Sometimes we look at and go, I look at that person and they're doing amazing. What's wrong with me? And we compare ourselves with other people. Well, I'm not like them, and I'm not doing as well. Oh, maybe we feel like giving up. Maybe there's one or two or three of us here, I don't know, but maybe there's somebody here this morning that has already given up. And you're just here because you just are here. I want to encourage us. Back in May, you remember how Kendall Schmicke gave a really, really good, that message has really stuck with me, when he had a canoe paddle, and he was talking about how much work it is, any of you took canoeing, and Ryan, you led the skill canoeing this week, and you're trying to struggle in any of the winds, that's hard work, and how he talked about sailing. What's the difference? The rowing or the paddling and the rowing is work. And sometimes we have to do that. But there's most of the time are we sailing, which would have been a better boat to have in New Testament times on the Lake of Galilee and all these different lakes where they would just sail. And all you have to do is just steer or just let it go and see where it takes you. Are you letting God help you and carry your sail, and the Holy Spirit blows into your sail, and all we need to do is sit there and let God blow into your heart and life. Let me encourage you with four verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I love, do you ever have the discussion, is it me working or is it God working? Who's the one actually doing the work in my life? Is it God or is it me? The answer is yes. It's actually both, but I want to see, maybe a pastor, a theologian would come to me and go, I don't know if you're right, Tim. I sometimes wonder whether God actually does more than we do. Follow these verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a rhetorical question. It's not if, no, it's assuming God is for you. Can you say God is for me? God is for me. God is for you. I love that. God is for us. Who can be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? This isn't the prosperity gospel here. He's talking about what you and I need to make it in life and thrive in life. God is for us. He's for you. He is cheering you on, but he's not waiting at the finish line like my friends were. He's running with us, or he's walking with us, or he's crawling with us. Whatever is going on in our life, God is for us. Go with me to Philippians 1 verse 6, my favorite verse. Is it up there? Yeah. For I'm confident, I memorized in the NIV, but I am confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began, he began the good work in you. Think about that. You did not come to Jesus all on your own. God was working in your heart and my heart when he met me at camp when I was 12 years old. He was working in me. God began that good work in me. He began every good work in you. He began it. And the verse says he will bring it to completion. He began that good work and he will continue every day. Even if you go through, and none of us have ever been there, but even if we've turned our back on him, we've never done that. He's always working. He will never stop working. That's what this verse is. And then he will get other people to pray for you. And he may bring people alongside to encourage you, but he's never going to give up. Never give up. He's going to keep going until the day of Christ Jesus. When he returns, that triumphal entry in the clouds, he's going to keep going. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. So Paul's writing here to this group of people, but he says this, partway through verse 12. Work hard. There it is. Work. Work at it. Work at it. We got to keep going. But work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show what's going on in your relationship, how you were saved. But he goes, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Obey God. Follow God. Deep reverence and fear. But then he says in verse 13, for God is working in you. What? Work hard, verse 12. Verse 13, God is working in you. What is it? It's both. We work and God works. That's a double whammy. Well, that's more. It's not one plus one. It's one plus a gazillion. Working in us. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. He's giving that to you. I'm going to come to the conclusion at in a few minutes, but I'm going to come to the conclusion where I'm going to say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, then you ask. You pray, because he says, I will give you the desire. I don't know if I want to follow God. Well, you ask him. Give me the desire. I don't know if I can do this. I'll give you the power that you need. I'm going to give it to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest, this is Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. Verse 15. Sorry, I'm reading ahead on verse 15. This high priest, Jesus, of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do. I remember talking when I was a youth pastor many years ago. I remember talking with a woman who was having a very difficult time in her family and with a particular teenager that was part of my youth group. And I mistakenly said the words, well, I understand. She barked back at me, and she was right to do that. She barked back at me and she said, you have no idea what I'm going through. You do not understand. And I immediately retracted it and apologized. You're right. Did we have one or two kids, like babies at that point? I didn't understand what it was like to be a parent of a teenager. Many of us, when we go through difficulties, we would love to have someone who actually understands what that part of life is. This is where Jesus says, I understand. I lived on earth. I know what it's like. And I put one hand behind my back, as Ryan read, he put aside God, his godliness, or God, it put a, boy, I'm getting mixed up. Not godliness, but he put aside his that relationship with God, his godness, and he walked on earth as a human. And he knows what it's like to struggle. Yet he didn't sin, but he knows. Well, he didn't go through this. No, but he understands the feelings of all these different things. He understood the feeling that I had when I fell on that ground. He understands pain. Not only in the cross, but when he was working with his dad and he was in a carpenter, how many times he would have hit his thumb, hit his finger with a hammer or something. He would have understood. He's been there. He understands. Did he face and he did not sin? Then verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne. God is saying, come boldly. Come to me. Come. Don't hold back. Come boldly to me. Come to me. I will help you. Beginning or at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, cast all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. If there's one verse that you could memorize, John 3:16 would help, but 1 John 5, 7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. If that's the only verse that we memorize, give him everything because he really cares. What's the difference between caring and loving? What do you think? Talk back to me. What's the difference between where it says he cares for you or he loves you? What's the difference? Is there a difference? What do you think? Action. Love is an action. Is that what you're saying? Or care is an action? Caring, yeah. Sorry? You care because you love. Yeah. See, I think love is a great thing. But it's, yeah, Jordan's right. The action of the actual care, the actual putting the arm around saying, we're going to make it. The actual care of listening, the actual care that you're actually with me. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm caring for you. I love you. For God so loved the world. But I care about you. I really care about you. How are you feeling? What are your struggles? Where are we failing? Where are we about to give up? Or maybe we've given up. Cast all your worries on God, because he not only loves you and me, but he cares for you. So the application is very simple. Pray. Talk with God. Spend time with him. Well, what was the show? You had three different, it was a game show. You had three different things that you could do to get help. One of them was make a phone call. Do you remember that? Yeah, who wants to be a millionaire? Yeah. What were the three of them? Do you remember? The first one was, ask the audience. Second one was, 50-50 chance. Yeah. And what was the third one? Phone a friend. That's almost biblical. Well, except for the 50-50. But, you know, you ask, you, he's saying, what, would you call God? You don't need a phone line. He's right there. Reception for cell phones in Rosen Order, Osborne or Domain are kind of iffy, but not God's reception. He's got us. And so it's simple out of this whole message, just for us, whatever you're going through. First thing in the morning, God, I'm here. Would you help me? Middle of the day, you're going through something and it's just not going well. Call on God. This thing broke, or I'm kind of lost. I remember I was doing a delivery this week and I took one wrong turn. I don't know where I am. I mean, sure, I have Google, but I'm looking around going, I've never been out here. Oh, another dirt road. I'm driving down a dirt road, not a gravel road. This isn't where I should be. Then all of a sudden I'm driving through a different colony I didn't know existed, going through them, and I'm going, wow. And I remember, even though I had Google, I said, God, I don't know where I am. Help me know what I'm doing. That, right? Anything goes on. Pray, talk with God, and spend time with him. It's that simple. And that meaningful. Ryan, come on up. And we're going to pray. Let's stand together. So I've asked the question a couple of times, where are you at? What's going on in your heart and life? What's the struggle this week? What's the joy that you're looking forward to this week? What worries? What worries us? What scares us? What's going on in your heart and life? And just a few quiet moments, talk to God about that. Come boldly before His throne. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Take a moment to pray. Take a moment to talk to God. Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, it's overwhelming at times, God, to know that how big and awesome you are, that you actually care about me. You care about every one of us. You cared when I fell in that race and skinned my leg really bad. And you were with me the whole race through. God, you really care about everything that we go through. God, forgive us that sometimes we just want to go it alone, or we don't think to ask you, or we don't think you care. But God, you really care. Holy Spirit, drive that into our hearts. Overwhelm us with your love and your care. Draw us to you. You have given us everything we need for life and godliness. And you have a grand entrance waiting for us. So in the meantime, God, we trust you. Help us to trust you. We love you. Help us to love you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.